This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast. I am live at optometry's meeting in DC, baby, and it's an amazing time. And today's topic is very important to the entire profession. We are talking about advocacy. It's very important. And today I really want to give a special shout out to Johnson & Johnson Vision for always being an advocate for our profession and make sure that we always have the best patient outcomes whenever we're in that exam lane. What we have going on today is just a series of conversations. I get to dive deep into a conversation with Dr. Devin Sasser, Dr. Shane Kinnear, Dr. Carissa Lee, and we're going to touch on the importance of advocacy.
First, we all know that legislatively, optometrists are working at a grassroots level to get things accomplished for our peers and our patients. But it's important to remember that large companies and large industry partners such as Johnson & Johnson Vision and other partners, they're very crucial to allow us to get to where we need to be. They are in rooms that we are not normally in. They are able to have influence in ways that at the grassroots level we're unable to replicate. And so we are eternally grateful to companies who are stepping forth and taking a stand for optometrists and also for our patients and getting the profession to move forward. We recognize that it's a very integral part of that process.
I couldn't agree with you more. And that grassroots effort, I think, is the key point to moving legislation forward. But let's not forget that constant presence, whether it be federal or state, and maybe that emergency group that responds to sudden legislation that's filed. Our industry partners like J&J have a political team. They have lobbyists on the ground. They can be our support system or we can be theirs. But we don't have the manpower and the hours available to be constantly watching. And that's why I think industry partners are so important to what we're doing right now.
And even considering that, it's still important to acknowledge those grassroots efforts. It's very important to understand that we need everyone to help with this. We need doctors from every state. If we look at states and how they differ from, say, a Kansas to a Maryland and how different our scope is, even though we're educated the same between those two states, it's important for us to work together to move everyone forward and not just one state at a time. Again, we're trying to increase access for all of our patients across the United States, and a key point in doing that is working together to accomplish that goal.
I think you're spot on, and you know, I think about what happened in Arkansas a couple of years ago, some of the legislation filed this year, and let's not overlook precedents. I think it's really important that we focus on how do we support each other. Maybe there's not something active in Kansas right now, but maybe there is in Maryland.
Yeah.
And I need to be able to support you this year to know you're going to support me next year.
Yeah.
And I think that we're really seeing this evolution of optometry. And what's so, I think, amazing to me, really all parties involved are focused on the patient-doctor relationship.
Yeah.
I just think that being able to have a constant presence, keeping that aware, top of mind, as you mentioned access, as you talked about high quality eye care, those are all things that industry and optometrists can work at several different levels. And I'm happy to support your state,
yeah.
And I feel confident you'll support me.
Absolutely, absolutely. If you look at the states that have passed legislation, we'll find one common thread, and that is that they're organized, right? They're unified in their effort. And an important part of that unity is to get everyone linked in. And so if you have not already done so, please, please, please join your state association, join the AOA, contribute to PAC to make sure that everyone is pushing forward together so that we can get things done in an efficient way.
You know, I think you bring up a very good point. PAC and what is it utilized for? I talk to a lot of doctors who are uncertain. You know, PAC is the money, and believe it or not, all efforts require funding,
yeah.
And we're all aware of that. And PAC is really a great, great entry point. It's a place any contribution, $25 or $250, can be combined, and we can see that strength in numbers, just like we see it when talking to legislators, talking to companies. I think that you're spot on. Just make an entry point, and get started.
Yeah, yeah.
And did you find it uncomfortable in the beginning when you became involved in lobbying and really the political landscape?
Yeah, I did. And it's mainly because I started as a student, so I really had no idea about optometry whatsoever. And I was brought in by other optometrists at my university, and then they allowed me to the space and time to become acclimated and taught me all the ways of optometry so that when I did become a professional, I felt more confident in going in to talk to legislatures. But I realized that that's not the experience of everyone. And so, as we stated earlier, it's super important to really go in there knowing that your experience as an optometrist is valuable, and it's very important to leverage that experience so that we are able to push things forward for our patients. And knowing that when you walk into those rooms, sometimes you're going to be the most educated person on the topic that you're talking about. So don't get intimidated. Just go in there, be yourself, and it's a perfect way to advocate for not only yourself, your peers, but also your patients.
Yeah, and I think it's like most things in life, that first time is really intimidating, maybe overwhelming. And I encourage all of you, partner up, go with somebody, make the first visit, have the first conversation. Mm-hmm. You'll be amazed at the difference between the first and the fifth. Mm-hmm. By the fifth, you're comfortable. It's just like doing eye exams or whatever the case may be. And you know, a mantra I use a lot is positive pressure. And I think right now, it's really important that we do that. We need to be talking about legislators in a positive tone about what we can do and the importance of the doctor-patient relationship, what we provide to our patients. And I think with positive pressure, we're able to move that needle quicker than with anything else we do.
Yeah. And it's important to remember Dr. Kennard's point earlier about there really not being an area of advocacy that's too small. So there's no area that's insignificant in advocacy. There's no dollar amount that's too small for a funding PAC. Just showing up to one meeting and having your presence felt goes miles in getting things done for our profession. So there's no role that's too small in this. Don't feel like you have to be the all-star when you walk into a room. Sometimes we have doctors who just come in and sit in on a call or are just there in the room and all they say is their name. Just having that presence be felt by legislators is very important.
And start advocacy in your exam room. Explain to patients why you selected a contact, why they need to come back next year. What are innovations and changes? What systemic diseases are you looking for? That simple piece of the puzzle is the beginning of advocacy, because we're educating our patients about what we do and why and what we're trained to do. And I think that moves the needle when we start to look at different topics becoming more publicly discussed.
Absolutely agree.
Can you please share any personal success stories or viewpoints or
Wow, fantastic information. Next up, the two are going to talk about their personal success stories. Check it out.
So I think of two real successes I've seen in optometry lately. Two states, not my own, had legislation filed that would either change definitions, change their scope of practice, or limit their scope. And I saw this great unification across the country. I saw ODs from everywhere coming together. I think another example, and I'm sure you've seen, is some of the legislation dealing with contact lenses and that patient-doctor relationship. What did you notice with that?
Yeah, so as far as that's concerned, I think it's very important. I think that piece of legislation is super important as far as patient safety. And we're talking about just making sure that patients are aware of the fact that contact lenses are a medical device. And to Dr. Kennard's point, it's very important to have that moment with patients in your chair to advocate not only for your profession, but also for their own safety and kind of educating them to make them realize that what this piece of equipment is something that is very important. And it's a Class II medical device, so it's not something to be taken lightly. And we are now looking to pass legislation that really acknowledges that so that we can make sure that everyone's staying safe and that consumers are being taken care of.
You know, I think it's interesting. If you said to people, hey, I want you to be able to select your own insulin pump, or I want you to be able to select your own antibiotic, or your own prosthetic joint, everybody would be, what are you doing?
Right, yeah.
But we are in a point, contact lenses are a medical device for a reason. We are trained, we need to select the proper lens for our patients in the same vein as all those other products.
And another big win, I guess, that affects me personally is, if you think about all the progress that we've had over the last 2 years, since 2021, we've had three states pass legislation that allows optometrists to do laser procedures in the treatment of glaucoma. And that doesn't sound like a personal thing, because I don't live in any of those states, but when you think about it, it actually is very personal, because what that does is allow us it gives us opportunity for Maryland to expand, and for it gives us kind of a rubric on how to push things forward in our own right so that we can actually provide better care for our patients and better access for our patients across the entire country. So any state for any win is a win for us, and it is a personal win for us as well. So we're super excited about that, and we're looking forward to what that might bring forward to Maryland.
It's very exciting, and you're right. What was your phrase you just used? Any state, any win?
Yeah, any win is a personal win. Yeah,
it's a personal win, and it's a patient win.
Yeah.
And it's access, and that's a great phrase that I'm going to use more often. And I think that we're really seeing optometry unify. So join your local society, join your state association, become involved in the AOA. Just learn about where we're at as a profession, and I think you'll see how exciting our future is.
Isn't it amazing to always hear from our colleagues, their stories, their experiences? I don't know about you, but I learn from them, and I implement them into my own life, personally and professionally as well. Next up is Dr. Lee. She's going to share with us who she is, what her background is, and all the amazing work that she does at Johnson & Johnson Vision. Dr. Lee?
Hi, I'm Dr. Carissa Lee, Head of Professional Affairs at Johnson & Johnson Vision. I have the privilege of running the professional team for the vision care side of North America. And on my team, we talk about a lot of things, we educate, but we also are able to support the profession through our professional relations team. We're able to do outreach and education to doctors and students through our professional education team. So it's a fun job. I love doing it. Never look back.
Thanks for sharing your background, Dr. Lee. But let's learn a little bit more about how you got started in the world of advocacy.
So advocacy for me started as a student. I'm a SUNY grad, and I didn't even know advocacy was a thing. And it was a great way to get an introduction into the profession, to be able to meet people, being part of the AOSA, and also being able to be in contact with legislators at such a young part of my career as a student. So as I became a doctor, as I found out more about the profession that I love, it really became a lifelong journey about how I could take part in advocacy for patients and on behalf of patient care. So as a doctor, practicing doctor, certainly it's talking to my patients every day about what we do as doctors of optometry. And in my role now as head of professional affairs at Johnson & Johnson Vision, I have the privilege of actually being able to sit on the Hill and talk to senators, talk to representatives about the importance of eye care, of the importance of the care that doctors give our patients, the importance of the comprehensive eye exam and that doctor-patient relationship. So it's been a journey, it's still a journey, but love it and love being able to do what I do.
Next, Dr. Lee dives deep into why she got involved in advocacy and why it's so important. Tune in.
So advocacy is immensely important. We have a state-regulated profession. There's also federal legislation that affects our profession and how we deliver patient care. So I'll say from a professional level, advocacy is so important to each one of us. And honestly, it touches us every day in our professional lives. I will also say from an advocacy standpoint, everybody can get involved. So it doesn't mean that you have to talk to legislators on Capitol Hill. It can mean that you have a candid conversation with the patient in your chair about what you do as an eye care professional, what you do as a doctor of optometry, and the scope of your ability to care for them as a patient holistically, whether it's talking about their children's eyes or their own eyes. That's the beauty of what we do as optometrists and also what advocacy can give us.
Next, we discuss with Dr. Lee what the biggest legislative actions are in optometry and patient care.
So some of the biggest legislative actions right now, certainly that we're talking about with legislators on the Hill, are around patient safety, patient outcomes, in particular around contact lenses. So affectionately what we call the robocall bill, that is something that's been introduced into the House and we are working on the Senate right now. But this really helps bring that contact lens verification into the modern times and would essentially get rid of robocalls. So that's one of the action items that we have. But I would say every time we have the opportunity to talk to a policymaker, it is about making sure they understand the importance of that doctor-patient relationship, a comprehensive eye exam, and making sure that they care as much as we do about the health and safety of our patients' eyes.
Next up, Dr. Lee is joined by Dina McCray, who is a lobbyist, and they're going to talk about the importance of having alliance partners to really help elevate and convey our message to legislators.
When I go to Capitol Hill to advocate on behalf of Johnson & Johnson vision, on behalf of our patients, on behalf of the customers that we serve, I'm always recalling that as a company, we aim to strive to keep, you know, our customers, our patients in a healthy environment, whether it's the quality products, the services, the care that we provide. That's always in the back of my mind. And I also think about, you know, we're striving to make healthier communities. We're striving to put healthy minds, bodies, and environments, you know, in the reach of everyone everywhere. So that is what I think of when I think of J&J as a company and how we're out there advocating to make sure that patients have excellent lives for the rest of their lives.
One of the things that I will add is that sometimes policymakers don't necessarily understand the role of the doctor-patient relationship. And so even though we might not be talking specifically about Johnson & Johnson vision products, we will refer to them in terms of how our patient outcomes are served with a strong doctor-patient relationship. So things like working with other partners and introducing language in a bill, or whether it's sending a letter, for example, the CDC letter that we had that was signed by 28 bipartisan legislators, those make a difference and they make an impact, especially when we can help them understand the importance of eye care and the importance of how that doctor-patient relationship serves the outcome of our patients.
Excellent. All right, colleagues, and it's a wrap. Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars and make sure you follow us on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you named it. And our handle is at Defocus Media on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020 and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.